Well, we are privileged to have you here with us tonight. Thank you for making the effort to join us on this Christmas Eve. And how about this? 50-some degrees today. How about that, huh? It's pretty good. Well, maybe you, like me, recall seeing a bumper sticker years ago that came out that had this rather clever message on it: "No God, no peace." But then right underneath it said, "No God, no peace." You know, peace is a highly valued term in our world. We hear about people in the Middle East working on the problem of peace. We hear about peaceful demonstrations of all kinds of causes. We hear about politicians who like to claim that the solutions that they're thinking about in this world will bring us peace. We hear mothers with small children who are praying for peace around the house. And of course, many people are on a search for personal peace. One of the most popular themes on Christmas cards and, of course, Christmas hymns as well is centered around the word peace. And it's often phrased, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." Well, what does peace have to do with Christmas? Everything. But the peace that Christmas brings is not for everyone. And that is startling news for many. I hope it's not for you. Stay tuned for details. Many in this world have offered us different perspectives on the subject of peace. John F. Kennedy, our former president, said, "Peace is a daily, a weekly, a monthly process, gradually changing opinions, slowly eroding old barriers, quietly building new structures." Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nobody can bring you peace but yourself." The late singer Marvin Gaye said, "If you cannot find peace within yourself, you will never find it anywhere else." Another late singer, the famed Jimi Hendrix, said, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, oh, then the world will know peace." A third late singer, John Lennon, said this: "If everyone demanded peace instead of another television set, then there'd be peace." And of course, later on, he said, "Well, actually, all we are saying is give peace a chance." Patrick Henry said, "Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace." Of course, Henry was not the first person to say this. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way: "They have healed the wound of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." You know, peace is so highly valued that we even have a number of awards handed out annually. And I think you know what they are. It's the Nobel Peace Prize. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "I have been a drum major for the subject of peace," and he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. But get this, remarkably, the man responsible for those awards had a rather unusual history. The Nobel Prize is, of course, named after Alfred Nobel. He is known as the inventor of dynamite, and at one point was given the nickname the Merchant of Death. In 1888, his brother Ludwig died, and a French newspaper erroneously published an obituary for the inventor, not for Ludwig. That obituary condemned him for his invention of dynamite. It stated, "The Merchant of Death is dead." You know, Alfred Nobel really was a remarkable human being. He came from a family of engineers. He was a brilliant man, fluent in many languages. He held patents for over 355 inventions. He loved literature, wrote a great deal of poetry and drama. Nobel also created multiple corporations that amassed a rather sizable fortune for the Nobel name. And yet it was his skill as a chemist that actually marked him permanently in history. But in inventing dynamite, Nobel single-handedly changed the nature of war. Countries around the world sought his products of death. He willfully sold it to them. Did Alfred Nobel turn to Christ later on in his life? Well, there's no evidence of this. Did he give his fortune to advance the gospel and further the cause of global missions on the earth? No. No, he gave his fortune to the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, Nobel brought the world the Peace Prize. But did he bring the world peace? He did not. He hoped the prize would rewrite his legacy. Contrast that with another single life, that of Jesus of Nazareth. The biblical prophet Micah gave us advance notice of the Bethlehem birth that would bring us the greatest peace. Here are the first five verses in Micah chapter 5 from the Good News Translation. People of Jerusalem, gather your forces. We are besieged. They are attacking the leader of Israel. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. And then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. And when he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety, because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace. But how? And to whom? We get the divine answer to this question by way of angels appearing to shepherds on the night that we often refer to as Christmas Eve. And their message was this: and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 2. At least that's the way it's worded in the King James Version. But a better reading of this passage actually helps us understand the peace message better. Multiple translations use different wording for the angel's message. In fact, here's Luke 2, beginning with verse 8 in the translation that we use at this church, the ESV. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, oh, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The New International Version states it this way: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Another version says, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people that he favors. Certainly you must have heard the well-known Christmas hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. The lyrics are beautiful, although they are at times somewhat haunting. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Ah, but the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. But what message were the heavenly beings really communicating? This news, what we call the good news, is not a heavenly proclamation to be nice, to be peace-loving people, although, again, that is certainly an important aspect of life. Instead, it is a proclamation that a Savior is born who is the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah described. Oh, but what peace is he bringing? Jesus brings ultimate peace. The peace that comes when the broken relationship between God and man is made whole. Jesus is that peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it's a famous verse. We often hear it this season. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the question now becomes, is this proclamation of peace good news for you? You must answer that question. A Savior has been born. A Savior is one who saves, who rescues. And you are the one in need of the rescue. Your sin-damaged soul is simply unable to please God. The popular writer Max Lucado said, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Luke 2, verse 11 reads, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a person by the name of Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. Only Jesus can save. He has come to our world to do exactly that for you. Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. If you have put your faith in the person of Jesus, you have been reconciled to the eternal God. That is the good news of the gospel, and it is why we celebrate today the arrival of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. Remember that early phrase, know God, know peace. Or on the other side, know God, know peace. This Christmas, make sure your hope is in Christ, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the message of hope that you have brought to our world, that in the midst of the deep darkness of our lives, the pain that we experience as a consequence of our own disobedience, our rebellion against you and your Father, our turning away from the words of the Holy Spirit, which might nudge us closer, ever closer to you, we thank you for coming and being willing to sacrifice in such a great way that we would have this privilege of being called your friends for eternity. We celebrate tonight your arrival on this earth as a human, but we know the amazing story is that you were human and you were God at the same time. Help us love you in such a way that we realize that you are a God worth knowing and worth serving. We thank you for this fellowship tonight. I ask you to lean our hearts into you as we celebrate this Christmas. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.